Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It was a good icebreaker session and getting started this morning. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for having me out here. I realize you didn't pick me, but somebody did, and whatever, the rest of you just have to put up with it. That's all right. It's fun to get to renew some acquaintances from years gone by, and I probably know some of your parents more than I know all of you. That's the sad thing as you get older, but a little history here in the Ontario area, having grown up in Detroit for so many years. Really, I think in the end, though, that this subject that you've got for this weekend is really that's the bottom line of what the truth is all about. I mean, we can study Bible studies, and we can look at prophets, and we can study prophecy, and we can look at Revelation, and you can study the atonement, and you can look at all these different things. But in the end, those are all just components that are supposed to go into how they affect our life so that we will learn to live as members of God's family. That's the game plan God has. He had it from the beginning. The design was, and it's his design, was to design a situation where he could encourage and grow his family. And that's what this is really all about. And that's what we've come here for this weekend, is to remind each other and look for help. And how do we apply these things? And how do we get through life and keep going in the midst of all these troubles? You could see that in the second icebreaker session today, that people are sitting there in our group and we have a lot of concerns and a lot of worries. And what God is doing is he's using our families to try to develop us through all these worries and problems. He's teaching us how to become a member of his family forever. Our goal is to join the angels. That's the goal. And you want to keep that focus all along. And what we have to do is trust him that his game plan works. And it's hard to believe sometimes, but working in our families and our ecclesias, he designed all that. And it's a progressive thing. He gives us our nuclear family. So you grow up, a lot of us get married, we have children, and we raise those kids. And you have that nuclear family where you practice the components of becoming like part of God's family. And then hopefully you expand those into the ecclesia. It's a great design, so that once you learn how it works within your own nuclear family, then you can expand those concepts into ecclesial life. So that all the different components we talk about this week in terms of like raising children and getting along with a spouse and all those different things, they all then become bigger when you apply them to your brothers and sisters. And that becomes part of God's family. And the goal in the end is that this is the practice time where God then finds out whether or not he can invite us into his family forever. And it's all a banner of how we respond. How are we doing on all these things? So everybody, as you saw in that session, everybody has issues that they're worrying about, they're concerned about. We all do. And that's good. That's okay. And what God is doing is he's working through those issues in our families. And we just have to trust him. And I think what happens is it's easier for me to look back at that now. I can remember when I was a younger person as a teenager and going through life and trying to figure out like who am I going to get married to and you know what ecclesia you're going to be in and what are you going to do in ecclesial life and all those worries back then. It's a lot easier to look back after years in the truth and realize, wow, God got us through all those things. You know, raising all those kids, and it's easier to do that in experience in hindsight, but because he throws new curveballs at us all the time because he's still trying to develop parts of our character. So that's the game plan for this weekend, really, is to look at all those things. And that's my practice session right there. For all of you that are wondering, we raised six kids. That's Sue right here. Sue was the Stiles before we ever got married. So she goes back into that Stiles family tree. Her grandpa and my grandpa were brothers. And some of those kids, that's my oldest son, Steve. He's in Australia now. Paul, you probably know, married MJ. Steve married Felicity, and they're over south of Sydney right now. I have a 33-year-old autistic daughter who has probably taught me more about family life than all the rest of them combined. That's just the way it works. Andrew right here, he's the one who made LavoniaTapes.com. If you've ever gotten on that website before, I can thank Andrew for that. He's my tech man right there, and he learned how to do all that PHP programming stuff. Sarah is over in Dubai right now. She's actually living in Dubai. We haven't figured out why entirely yet, but I still think she's going to be a part of taking the gospel to the Arabs. And I really wonder whether God is doing things like that today. You'd expect in the last days, if you watch the truth, how it's spreading out into so many areas today, it's like God is getting ready for the kingdom. I think that's one of the greatest witnesses to the fact that the truth is going into areas it was never in before, and there's people that are connected to those areas, so that it will be really a much better situation than it would have been 100 years ago for Christ to come back and convert a good part of the world. And there's Nathan over there. He's still living with us out in California. So that's our family. That's where I did all my practicing. And yeah, they were my guinea pigs. Oh yes, and our latest addition to the family, that's little Eden right there, who Paul and MJ had. Paul and MJ were living up here in Ontario for a while. They were up in Oakville for a while. And Andrew just got married to Marjorie Binch. For those of you that know Eddie and Beth Binch, he married their daughter just this past summer. So God, in terms of like what he's doing, you know, God is the one who designed the family unit. And I can remember as a child growing up, it took me a while to realize that, you know, everything I was used to in life, you look out in the natural creation, you see birds get together and they have babies and animals, they have cats and dogs, and you can see the family concept is out there. And we almost just sort of assume that families were there without realizing that it was by design. You read in Genesis 1 and 2 of the creation, this was just no random event. God designed families because he has a family and his goal is to incorporate us into part of his family. So he could have chosen other ways in Genesis 2. He didn't have to create Eve for Adam and divine a family around them and have them have children. I mean, he could have done like the Israelis and have communes. He could have allowed for an encouraged polygamy, which he really doesn't. He could have just allowed for and encouraged divorce, that if things don't work out, just split up and do another one and do that. But he didn't do it that way because he understands the game plan. And the goal is to get us into God's family. So when you're reading through the scriptures about how God designed this, it's all from the perspective of teaching us about how to become part of his family. So you look back in the scriptures, you'll see that in Genesis 6 that, you know, God chose Noah's family. This is a consistent thing in the scriptures where God worked through families. He worked through Abraham's family in Genesis 13. In Genesis 19, look at the concern that the angels had and their compassion for going down to Sodom and Gomorrah, finding Lot, giving him an opportunity to get all his family he could together, and then grabbing him by the hand and pulling him out in Genesis 19. That's an unbelievable story about the concern that God had for his family, and certainly dealing with Abraham as well in Genesis 18. And in Amos 3, he says of Israel there that you only I have known of all the families of the earth. And it's fun to look at that concept that God has consistently worked in families. So when we go through some times where we get discouraged in our families, where you start, sometimes people wonder, well, do I have the right spouse? Why did God give me the children that I have? And you start to second guess things in life periodically. We got to go back to the basics of the fact that, wait a minute, God knows what he's doing. He designed families, and he designed them so that in our families we'll get a chance to practice all these critical parts of his character that he wants to develop in us. And so all these challenging things that we go through, they're supposed to be teaching us about learning the character of God. And what better place to do it if you want to become part of his family is to experience those characteristics in your own family. So you know the passages back in Genesis 2 that God looked at Adam and he said, look, it's not good for the man to be alone, so I'll make a helper suitable for him. So he didn't want Adam to stay alone. He didn't want Adam to be in isolation. He wanted Adam to have a spouse and have this opportunity to then have children and to experience God's family life in his family. And this is then where he develops his character in all of us. And so that's what he did. He went through all the animals and they didn't work. And so he created woman for the man. He created a spouse for Adam. And that's all by design. Now, this is like the creator of the earth figuring out that this is the best way in order to develop his family. And it's really what he's after. So in Genesis 18, you find that God would say of Abraham right here, remember when the angels were looking and they were trying to make that decision, should we go tell Abraham what we're going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, or should we just do it? And they said, wait a minute, we got to tell Abraham. You can't hide from him what I'm doing, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So this is what God is really counting on, that we will then teach our children, we'll work in our ecclesias, and this is the basis for growing his family here on this earth today. It's all about working in families, and it always has been. And I think you'll see the Apostle Paul really understood that when you look in his writings, that he understood this concept that God is building a family. and that we've been invited to be a part of this family. I find that Paul seems to have the bigger picture perspective. He doesn't just go so narrow looking in at just like Abraham's children and the Jews, of which, you know, he would have been trained in earlier on. He finally realized when God, you know, helped him understand that the gospel was going to the Gentiles, Paul started seeing the bigger picture about the family of God. So when he talked about, for this reason, when the Gentiles coming in there in Ephesians 3, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So that shows you that God's family has been around before Adam and Eve. He's had a family all along, and what God is doing is he's growing his family. It's expanding all the time. And I think that's fun to look at as a concept, because we go back and we look at, well, where did the angels come from? And then you start wondering, well, if they came from a previous situation and now they're part of God's family, were they all one creation? Or did the angels, has God been actually growing his family over a long time and he just keeps adding to it and adding to it? And that would probably be what I would have come to in life now, is that God has been expanding his family for a long time. I really think what you're seeing in things like Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4 and 5, when you see these visions of the throne and all the ones around the throne, is you're seeing a picture of his family. And what he's doing is he's just constantly bringing more people into the family. And he uses families in order to teach us about those concepts. So that's, I think, the game plan of what God's after. And what better way to do that than to have you live in a family? So if you want to teach somebody, for example, how to be a dentist, and you have a kid in high school who wants to become a dentist, we find today the best way to like help them understand is to put them in a dentist's office and say, hey, shadow a dentist for a while and find out if that's what you really want to do. And so what God does with us is he puts us in families and ecclesias, and he says, here's your opportunity to see what it's like being part of the family of God. And this is your practice time. This is where you're going to learn how to become part of this family. So when things happen and things go on, this is our test to find out, are we ready for God's family? And so you can't walk away from it. We can't just look at it and say, well, this isn't fair. God is giving us exactly what we need in our families, in our ecclesias, in our ecclesial situations. As rough as things ever get, he's giving us the circumstances we need in order to develop us so that we and the others that are part of this will be part of his family forever. So you can't look back in your life and say, well, did I marry the wrong person? You know, did I have the wrong kids? Or I wish I had somebody else's kids or something like that. Or you can't do that, because they've given us exactly what I need. And that's what God is doing. And over time, you learn to trust that. And he's given us what we need so that we can become part of his family forever. So, you know, raising children, that's what that does. It really does help you understand what the angels go through, what Jesus Christ goes through to save us, what God has gone through to save us. What better way to help Abraham understand what it's going to cost God than to ask Abraham, offer up your son? You know, that's how we learn in life, is by personal experience. And so this is what he does with us. He puts us in families and he says, look it, you raise your children. And as exhausting as that is, and as how time-consuming, that you are on call 24/7, 365 with those kids, and sometimes you feel like you have no life left, you have no time left. That's exactly what the angels do for us every day. Every day they're with us, 24/7, 365. And as frustrated as we get sometimes with our kids, just think of how frustrated angels can get with us when we make bad choices. And they try to put us in situations where they're hoping that we'll succeed and we choose to go down another pathway. And it's like we put them through that all the time. And yet God's trying to help us understand with our own children and our spouses that we've got to be patient and kind and compassionate and give people time to develop. And that's the best way to learn it, is by experiencing that in your family. So the Apostle Paul would say, look, when he came to the Corinthians, you know, and Paul didn't have children that we know of, but for those of us who aren't married or who don't have children when you get married, the ecclesia becomes the basis for this. And Paul treated all these converts like they were his children. That's how he saw them. So he said, I'm not going to be burdensome to you, for I don't seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. This is where we practice and we learn to give our life for God. We're going to give it for our children. We're going to give it for our spouse. And then we find out that that's the way it's supposed to work. We don't have our life anymore. We've been bought with a price. And therefore, we glorify God in our bodies. And really, that's what the angels do every day. They don't live their own life. They live a life where they work with other of God's family, and they accomplish God's will. They are the messengers who do His will. And God's trying to train us to become part of that family. You look at marriage in terms of what it does. It helps you practice faithfulness. God puts faithfulness up on the top of the list of what He wants from us. He wants to find out if we will be faithful to the covenant to Him before He ever gives us immortality. He needs to know that. So He puts us in situations and families where we can practice faithfulness. You know, and this is your practice time to find out. And He's watching to see, and the angels are out there doing this, watching to find out, are we really faithful? Are we faithful to a covenant? You look in the prophets right now, we're going through Hosea and the readings and all the different prophets, you see the constant argument God has against them is that they were unfaithful to His covenant. And this is where our practice time is. This family that we're living in and marriage and all that, that's not just some random thing that happened to come along. This is all by design to find out if He can teach us to become part of His family. So that's what He's after, is faithfulness with us. And you look at caring for your parents as they become elderly. Somebody's got to take care of me. See, when I get old, and I look down at my kids now, and you know, you look at your own children, you think, you know, someday you're going to be taking care of me. And that's an opportunity for us then to practice compassion and faithfulness with our parents. And you can see how the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he talked about the fact that, look, if you've got a widow, or you know, if you've got grandchildren and children at home, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. That's pretty big to say that. I mean, that's a pretty critical statement to me. You've denied the faith, and worse than an unbeliever, when you don't take care of your family. Because he realized this is the practice time. God's given us these situations to find out if we're willing to cooperate and serve other people. And this is his test to find out if he can give us immortality and invite us into his family forever. So that's what he does with us. And you can see how when Paul wrote to Timothy, when he was talking about, you know, ecclesial leadership, when you go to think about leadership for the ecclesia, the practice time to find out if you can be a leader in your ecclesia is, how have you done with your own nuclear family? This was where it all starts. And if you've done well with your nuclear family, then you're ready to move on to the ecclesial family. So he would say that the bishops in this case, when he's talking about a bishop, he must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the ecclesia of God? I mean, it's such a simple concept. This is the practice time in our families. You learn how to deal with people, how to work with children. But you could do the same thing like David when he's out taking care of sheep. And people would look at that and say, well, what a waste of his time taking care of sheep. That was practice for learning how to take care of God's sheep. And God's doing the same thing with our ecclesias. And he designed it to work. So it's really not a very complicated concept. You know, up here in Canada, see, you got to use hockey. I remember those days up here in Ontario. So what happens with, you know, everybody knows that in terms of being on a hockey team, that if you want to be a member of a team, you've got to practice and you've got to do what the coach says. That's how it works in sports. And it's no different when you look at the scriptures, that if you want to be a member of God's family, you've got to practice. You've got to practice whatever it takes that the team needs at that time. And if that means, like for dads, changing diapers, you do it. You do whatever needs to be done. You look at the needs of the family, and you just do it. And you practice that in your families, and you do what your Heavenly Father says. And God guarantees that if we do this, He promises us that if we follow through the procedure in our nuclear families and onto our ecclesias, that will train us to become part of His immortal family forever. because he's the one that chose to work in Ecclesius. He realizes that this is a great basis, so that even if we don't have a nuclear family, suppose you're at a situation in life where you're not married yet, or maybe you have no children, the Ecclesia is really, the goal is to get to the point where you can expand out to the Ecclesia, like the Apostle Paul did. So he calls the Ecclesia, the Church of the Living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Because this is where we have opportunities to practice becoming members of God's family, and this is where he works out all the bugs. So Ecclesias, they really do, they help us keep on track when we go through trials and we get discouraged, so we can go to our Ecclesias and we can lean on them when we need help. They help us to learn to extend beyond our own family and work with God's whole family, even different cultures. And he's waiting to see if we're good at that. Are we learning to do that? Can we expand beyond our comfort zone and really accept the whole family of God? And it really does help us to balance us when God brings us together from all these different backgrounds, so that you find out it's not what I want anymore, it's what's good for the group. And this is how you go about solving ecclesial problems. And yet, you look at the Acts 15 Jerusalem conference. I mean, there were a lot of people that came to that meeting wanting things themselves, but what they did is they went away realizing what was good for the group. And they made group decisions at that point. And I has to get lost in that. And instead, it's all about us. And it helps you appreciate others in God's family when he supplies all these members that have different talents, because nobody can do it all. And you have to, in the end, really appreciate all the others. And it gives you an opportunity to serve in love, like Paul says in Galatians. That's really what it's all about when you have ecclesias and families. And in the end, when it works, all the glory goes to God, because we could have never figured this out ourselves ahead of time. The humanistic approach would have never said, stick with this and go with it, and this is what will happen. But in the end, it's all about God's game plan, and he promises it will work, and he does. So in the first class, at least, that's the game plan, was to appreciate the fact that, look at God's design families. Don't fight it. Don't ever get discouraged and think that I'm in the wrong place. It's all by design, and what we have to do is stick with it and work our way through it and talk to others like this weekend and find ways of getting through our situations in life and realize with confidence that God will use this to train us to become members of his family forever. So, discussion time. Now, a couple of ground rules I had, and then I think you guys had some ground rules you're going to cover, but I want to make sure that we are not going to be complainers in discussion time, right? Discussion time is an opportunity to seek for positive solutions, right? No put-downs, so we're not going to put down the people that aren't here. That's not part of the goal of the discussion groups. What we're here for is to like pool our ideas on how to improve. Not really to complain and put down. And let's make sure we keep it positive. So those are things like I would do in class to make sure that things go positive. That's always been my game plan. I don't know what else you'd like to add to that, but help yourself if you want to add more to that.